last week, Sunday. Came off of a week of staycation. My mom was out, took the week off, just hung out at home, played lots of card games, played lots of games with the kids. Then last Sunday, came back, and we had our prayer service and led that. And then the afternoon, I flew out to Denver, was there for all day Monday staff meeting for strategic renewal, hung around there with Daniel and Robert, two of the guys that I work with. Watched Clemson completely beat up on Alabama, so that was awesome. Then flew home on Tuesday, and then Wednesday morning life for me, it already kicked in for the rest of the family. Life kicked in, and Kyle had to be for school for musical practice at 6:45, so I was up. So by the time I drive here, and I had a doctor's appointment there, and so by the time I was driving here, on Wednesday morning, I was going through the list in my head of all the things between Horizon and Strategic Renewal and Friendly Stitches and all the things that I needed to go, and I was writing them down, scribbling. I barely could read my own writing. As I was driving, trying to remember what I all had to get done Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in this week. And it occurred to me as I was thinking about those things and then our crazy schedule at home with Caitlin in basketball and Kyle in Boy Scouts in the musical and with Alyssa in cheer in the musical, with Jason in soccer, with all of them having music lessons, Cindy having volleyball and a couple times a week, and then all of that stuff. It's like, you know, this staycation idea is a really good idea. You know, if I could do this, this would be great. I would just, you know, all I'd have to do is make sure that I was running everybody and making sure everybody there, and I wouldn't have to keep track of all of this other stuff going on in life. And then I thought, if I had to do this another few days, I would be going nuts. If all I had to do was nothing, except running here and there and doing this and that, it's like, okay, that's good. I'd get things done, but what would the purpose be? If all I was doing was just staying and running and doing that, I mean, there's a great purpose in my kids. I mean, I'm not knocking them at all. But the question that we're looking at is, what is the purpose? What drives us? What drives you? What gives us meaning? What gives us reason to get up in the morning? Every day we ask questions about purpose. Who do I spend my time with? What should I get done? How should I spend my money? We take it out of the day-to-day routine of just trying to get through the day and just trying to get through the week and just trying to get all the things on our to-do list done. The bigger questions is what they were asking in the video. What is life for? What is the purpose? What am I really doing here? Does it really matter? One of America's great authors, Ernest Hemingway, did not have a great perspective on that. He said, life is a dirty trick, a short journey from nothingness to nothingness. Leo Tolstoy, the Russian author, his answer wasn't a whole lot better. He said, then what's life for? To die? To kill myself at once? No, I'm afraid. To wait for death till it comes? I fear that even more. Then I must live. But what for? In order to die? Not a very lovely perspective on purpose. You may have thought at some point in your own life, there's got to be more than this. So we try to find the answer to the question that Monty Python asks.
Why are we here? What's life all about? Is God really real? Or is there some doubt? Well, tonight, we're going to sort it all out. For tonight.
Is the meaning of life. Okay, so I didn't put the whole song in there. It's not tonight, but it's this morning, and we're going to try to sort it all out. The question of purpose is a question of meaning. It's a question of what are we here for? What are we doing? Do we have a purpose? Does that purpose drive us? Does that purpose guide us? Does that purpose give us meaning? Is it ultimately what we're looking for? This guy in the Bible, King Solomon, wrote the book Ecclesiastes. King Solomon, of course, was King David's son. King Solomon asked God, God said, "What do you can ask for anything you want. What do you want? And I will give it to you." And Solomon asked for wisdom. And so God was very impressed with that answer and said, because you asked for wisdom, I will give you all of these other things as well. And so he writes in the book of Ecclesiastes his meaning, or his about his search for meaning and his search for purpose. And he writes that he tried everything under the sun. That's a phrase that is throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, that he tried everything under the sun to give him meaning and to give him purpose. And he concludes that accomplishments and riches and power and status and education and sex and adrenaline and knowledge and experiences, you name it, he tried it, are not the things that give us meaning. Turn with me in your Bible to Ecclesiastes 1, verse 12 through 14. It's found on page 571 of your Bible. That's in the chairs there. Ecclesiastes 1, 12 through 14. He says, I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. You've seen would be another word there, I've done or I've experienced. And all of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Solomon has done it all. There is nothing in his book, as we read Ecclesiastes, there's nothing that Solomon didn't try. So what do we turn for purpose? What are we looking for? Just in life, just in general, what does our world tell us to turn to for purpose and meaning? Solomon says in chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, that he looked for wisdom. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also the madness and folly. But I learned this too is chasing after the wind. For with much knowledge comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. So we think we just got to get it all figured out. If we just got it figured out, then we've got our purpose. If we just have all the answers. Solomon said that wasn't it. In chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, he talks about his accomplishments. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water the groves of the flourishing trees. He tried all these things. He did all these things. He says, in verse 7, he tried pleasures. He says, I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. He tried all of these accomplishments, all of these pleasures. Verse 8, he says, I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers. He had his own band, basically. He had his own private band that played for him anytime he wanted to go hear a concert. And a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. And all this my wisdom stayed with me. Imagine having everything. Nothing. You're not limited by anything. I mean, Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates are poor compared to this dude. He says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, he says he tried money. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? Solomon tried it all. How many of us think the same thing? How many of us would fall into the same trap? We think, if I just had a little bit more, and if I could just, you know, if I just had a little bit more, if I didn't have to worry about this bill, if I didn't have to worry about that bill, if I could buy myself a brand new F-250, if I could do this or that or do, we think it would be better. We think if we could just had a better resume or close this deal or mark that thing off my bucket list, and you can fill it in for yourself, if I just had. And if we think we have it, and we think we get satisfaction from it, then Solomon has another lesson for us. I'm reminded, and this is an old story, Deion Sanders, before he came to Christ, was looking for something. And he figured out that it was probably a Ferrari. So he bought a $175,000 Ferrari cash, drove it off the lot, and a mile and a half later it was emptier than it was before. I don't know, I think I'd like to try the Ferrari, but I probably wouldn't fit in it, for one. But Deion Sanders and Solomon have the same lesson. These things aren't going to satisfy. Solomon tried it all. You name it, he tried it. And it left him empty. So what really gives us purpose? He could have concluded that all these things that he listed off, all of these things that were that he had, in and of themselves were meaningless. Don't go after money, it's meaningless. Don't have to go after that, it's meaningless. Don't go after that, it's meaningless. But he didn't conclude that those things inherently of in and of themselves are bad. He didn't conclude that in and of themselves, those things don't bring meaning. He didn't conclude that you shouldn't have that, you shouldn't have that, because that's not going to do it. What he did conclude is that God gave those good things, which he made good, he gives them meaning. They're not meaningless of themselves, but God gives everything meaning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 says this, "I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live." There's some wisdom. It's good to be happy. It's good to do good. Even some of the video that we said, one of the guys said, I just want to make a difference, at least a little bit. It's a drive that God's given us. He says that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift from God. It's a gift to find satisfaction in your toil. It's a gift to have those things. It's a gift that God gives to all people. The purpose and the satisfaction and the thing that fills the deepest need in us is not the things themselves, but the God who gives them. So that we may know him. He gives them to us. In verse 14, he says, "I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it." God does it so that people will fear him. The gifts that God gives, the thing that God gives, the satisfaction for a job well done. I mean, we all have it. We all want to do our best. We get done with a job. We get done with a project. We stand back. We look at it and say, "Well, that's really good." And have satisfaction and say, "You know what? That was good. That is from God. With a purpose." God does it so that people will fear him. Not in the sense of being afraid. That's not the biblical understanding of fear when talking about God. At some points it is. But here, it's to know him. God gives all these things to enjoy, all these things that we make the idol in life. Because we look to those things for our purpose. We look to those things for satisfaction. And we make them our idols rather than understanding that God gives those to us to point us to him. Would having $1 million make life a little easier? Yeah. Wouldn't have to worry about college education as much. Wouldn't have to worry about the house payments. A lot of things we wouldn't have to worry about. But would it satisfy? No. I'd always have something to worry about. The satisfaction we have in life comes from God. So the question for each of us is, how am I living my life? How are we living our lives? The day-to-day, when we think about our purpose, do we live our lives with the perspective that there is no God? If Hemingway is right, and life is a dirty trick from nothingness to nothingness, then what's the point? Now, obviously, we're all here. We don't live our life as if there is no God. But the question then maybe is, do we live our life as if God exists, but it doesn't matter? It's called practical atheism. Practical atheism says God exists, but it doesn't matter. And this idea of practical atheism can be found inside the church and outside the church. It's not like just, oh, those people over there. Practical atheism says, I can get up in the morning and I know God exists, but it doesn't make a difference. Christian author Brennan Manning says this. He says, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. We say we believe in Jesus and we don't live like it. What's it going to do? What witness is that going to be? If somebody says, wait a minute, you're a Christian and you follow Jesus, but it makes no difference, then why would I want to do that too? Because I can do what you do without even having to show up on church on Sunday or live my faith the way I want to or whatever. Practical atheism says that we can do whatever we want to. I mean, God's out there. That's all fine and dandy. But I'm just going to live this way without any conscience, without any idea of what God's calling us to, without any regard to the life we're called to live. Our other choice is that our life has purpose and God has purpose and there's meaning and there's greater purpose in the day-to-day. Even challenges are kept in perspective when we realize that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Even the things that we face in life, and some of us have faced some pretty difficult things. When we understand that there is a purpose in life, when we understand that God's there, we might not be able to make sense of what happened. We might not be able to answer the question, why did it happen? We might still have to struggle with it. But at least when we look at it from the perspective that God's got it all control, and when this life and our life here on earth is done, that we are going to be with him and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. It might not make all the struggle here easier. But we realize that at the end of it, there's heaven. There's God himself. And that's the purpose. One of the videos that we had, the longer video, if in the small group, the longer video, the 3.5 minute version, one of the guys on the video had made the comment. He says, my purpose in life is just to go fishing and to catch fish and have a fish fry. And my kids, as we were watching that, I was like, that's it? There's got to be more to it than that. Solomon tried everything. And his conclusion on the matter is Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Flip over a few pages for me and follow me along with that, would you? Second to last verse of the whole book. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. He said, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Solomon, who tried everything, had everything, built kingdoms, built things, had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Imagine that headache. I'm going to get in trouble here if I keep going, am I? Okay. I'll stop. Thanks. Tried everything that you can imagine. And he said, here's the conclusion of the matter. You want purpose in your life? Fear God, keep his commandments. The Westminster Catechism says it this way: what is the chief end or the chief purpose or the chief reason of our being? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That is a far cry from Solomon's words, says everything's meaningless. The invitation is to discover God through Jesus Christ, who gives us meaning in life. It's not through the things that He created, but it's through the Creator. It's not through the riches, the accomplishments, the power, the status, the education, the sex, the adrenaline, the knowledge, the experiences, you name it, that Solomon has tried. But he said, the chief goal is to know God and to love Him and to follow Him. The bottom line is this: every person, this is what we hold to from the Bible, every person was created to know God personally. God created us to be in relationship with Him. He gives us freedom to say no, but He gives us, created us to be in relationship with Him. He sent Jesus so that we would be redeemed, so that we could know that. Life without God ultimately is meaningless. But with God, He gives everything meaning and purpose. And so we can live life not having everything figured out, but know the One who loves us and redeems us and calls us His own. Let's pray. Lord God, we give You thanks and praise for You calling us Your own, for You calling us to be Your own, for giving that invitation. Lord, Your invitation throughout Scripture, come those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give them rest. Lord, the ones who thirst, You give the invitation, come and drink from Me. I am the living water. For those who are hungry and striving for things and wanting something to fill us, You tell us that You're the bread of life. Lord God, all these pictures that You give us in Scripture of coming to You, and being filled and being satisfied with the only thing that can satisfy us, and that is You. So, Lord God, may we turn to You, may we continue to turn to You day to day, to be filled by You, to be following You, to know You and to love You, because that ultimately is where we find our purpose. So, Lord God, we turn to You. We give our life to You so that we will have our purpose in You. Amen.